Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So you give some advice about this, about how we can communicate in a way that others can accept it. We cannot help others if we attack their values and beliefs, or if we ignore their temperament and their personal circumstances. So this allows other people to accept what we're communicating, is if we're not communicating in a way that is attacking their values and beliefs, or is ignoring their temperament and their personal circumstances. So when we're communicating, we can think about this a little bit. How can I help this person if I'm attacking them? If I'm attacking what they value, is it going to work, this communication? If I'm attacking what they believe, is it going to work, this communication? Probably not. Maybe we've done that before. Or we've been on the receiving end of it before and we know it doesn't work. So then we have to kind of approach something a different way. So again, it's not to say we can't communicate. This is all about kind of strategy. It's like, okay, how do I communicate in a way that works? In a way that it can be received, okay? I have to take off the table the option of attacking their values and beliefs. Okay, that's helpful. I'm removing that option. Add a degree of difficulty. How do I do it? You know, and it becomes a little bit more of a challenge, but we can enjoy rising to that challenge. How can I express what I need to express without being aware or trying to avoid attacking their values or beliefs? Or ignoring their temperament and personal circumstances. So we can think, all right, well, if I want to benefit this person, but I ignore their temperament or their personal circumstances, it's not going to work. Just like I was ignoring the personal circumstances of that person that was requesting help, right, at the end of the off-ramp. If I maybe thought about their personal circumstances a little bit more, I would have been bringing bananas or soft food, right? So again, we just need to think about, okay, what are their personal circumstances and how do they vary? How are they different than my own? So just with basic consideration, like we might think, oh, I'm going to invite this friend to a party that I'm having at my house. But maybe this person lives really far away where there isn't public transportation. Or maybe they have family commitments. It's not easy for them to find childcare. Then we want to make that invitation with some awareness of their personal circumstances. Or maybe, express an awareness of their personal circumstances when we make that invitation. You know, maybe we can't fix it, but we can at least acknowledge it, acknowledge the personal circumstances they have. Or again, their temperament. We can't ignore other people's temperament. We all have our own temperaments. We all are who we are. So certain people have certain types of temperament. So it doesn't help our communication with them if we ignore that. I remember I have a step-sibling who really, really does not like being hugged. Really does not like being hugged. Like seriously does not like being hugged. But a number of people in the family insist on, when we gather together, which is very rare, hugging that person. We have to say, oh, I know you don't like it, but here, just hugging, right? And I never hug him when I see him. I just shake his hand. And the last time I saw him, he said to me, he was very warm and friendly, and as he was leaving, he's like, I'm always so grateful you don't try to hug me. Like, you're the only one that doesn't try to hug me. And I thought about it afterwards because I thought, you know, it's interesting because people think that they're being loving, but it's ignoring that person's temperament, which is some people don't want, that's not an expression of love, right? For them. Maybe an expression for love of love for them is respecting the boundary of them not wanting to be hugged, right? Like, please just don't touch me. It's like, okay, I won't touch you, you know? And I think that sometimes we think denying people's temperament to express a good motivation, an affectionate, loving feeling, that will go over well, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe it makes somebody feel uncomfortable. It's not communicating love. Maybe it's communicating something else. Maybe a lack of respect for their boundaries. So again, this is something we can think about when we're communicating, is what's this person's temperament? I think this is also where communication becomes fun, because people have different temperaments. So our forms of communication can vary. We can get creative. So some people have a temperament of being really blunt and to the point, really direct. So that's great. We don't have to beat around the bush. We just say it like it is. They don't take offense. And it's a lot of fun. Like, wow, okay, this person, they just want it straight. Whereas I'm used to kind of dancing around things, being polite. With this person, that's not actually their temperament. I just have to be straight and direct. And then we develop that ability to be more straight and direct when we're with that person, more blunt and to the point. We develop that skill. Or maybe with someone else, it's the opposite. You know, it's not about being blunt or direct at all. I've noticed this living in different parts of the country, because there's a lot of different cultures around what's polite and impolite and the ways to communicate. And I remember when I was a resident teacher in Kansas at a Buddhist center there. And there, you spend a lot of time chatting before you get to the point. Like, I could go to the grocery store, there could be no lines, I could only be getting two items, and it would take me 20 minutes to get through the checkout line, because you're meant to have a conversation. Like, it would be incredibly rude to not have a conversation with the checkout person. That's just life, right? That's just the way it's meant to be. And it took me some adjusting to realize, like, oh, you know, like you have conversations about things with perfect strangers for significant periods of time. Or you don't just ask somebody how they're doing. This is the one that really caught me, is you work through your way there. So you start off with, like, okay, you know, how is the farm? Right? A lot of people had land. Like, how's your land? How's your farm? How's your animals? How's your vegetables? How's your job? And then you get more personal. How's your family? How's your health? How are you? So these rings to get to, how are you? Like, the point of the conversation. Like, it wasn't like you could just go to, like, how are you doing? You have to like, slowly work your way there. So right after living in Kansas, I was asked to be the resident teacher in Brooklyn, New York, which could not be farther from in terms of communication styles. There it was like, just tell me what you want now, right? Quickly, directly, no pleasantries, no pleases and thank yous. That's what worked. They're like, oh, thank you. So around the corner from the Buddhist Center was this bagel shop that we commonly get bagels for events at the Buddhist Center. We go in. And the first time I went in not prepared about what to order before I came in the door. First mistake. You need to know what you want before you get there and be ready to ask for it. And then the other thing I did was, you know, I said things like, please and thank you. Not interested. This lady was not interested. And I quickly learned that she would be displeased with me because it was just less efficient, more slow. So over time, I got it down. Like, I understood, you go in, you just say exactly what you want in 20 seconds or less, and then you are her new best friend. And I got it down. It was just, it was no hellos, no good mornings, no thank yous, just, I want a half dozen of your whole wheat bagels, your cinnamon raisin bagels, and your everything bagels. And then it was like, I was her best friend. That was what she wanted. She just wanted direct, to the point. And then all of a sudden, we were friends. You know, after a few months, she'd be like, how's your day going? And I'm like, oh. Like, we're chit-chatting now. So I think this is something that we can come to appreciate, that people have different temperaments. for different reasons. And if we take that into account, then we can find that we can adapt our own ways of communicating. It becomes a lot more fun. So he says here, we have to adapt our own behavior so that it suits the person and makes them feel at ease. Instead of imposing our own moral standards on others and passing judgment on them if they do not comply, we should simply act in a way that has the most positive effect. We need both flexibility of mind and flexibility of behavior. So this is something that is very helpful, is understanding that our own moral standards are our own. Not everyone else is going to share them. It doesn't mean we have to give them up, but we need to recognize that we live in a world with varied moral standards. Varied, right? And that just because we hold certain moral standards doesn't mean everyone else should. Right? So I'm a Buddhist nun. I have a lot of vows. I have very high standards for like my own personal morality that I hold very near and dear. I'm never going to impose that on other people. Right? That's my choice to have those moral standards or that code of ethics for myself. If I were to go around imposing that on everyone else I met, that would be disastrous. Like if everyone who walked into this temple, I'm like, okay, here's the list of things you need to do, right? I'm going to impose this upon you while you're here. This temple would be shut down within a few weeks. People are like, I'm never going to that place. That nun's crazy, you know? So this is where we need to understand there's a balance between holding our own moral standards, like I said, near and dear, while not imposing or expecting other people to have the same. Right? I don't expect everyone else to have the vows I have. It's a personal choice. What people choose to do or not do with their life, what they want their morality to be or not be, it's a personal choice. It's everyone's freedom. If I'm to have that expectation, it's of course going to create problems in my communication with others, because like he says here, I'll then be passing judgment on other people all the time, judging them for them where they don't hold those same moral standards. That's going to create huge division. So much divisiveness between people comes down to this, that we don't accept that we have different moral standards. And we often are attached to our own and think everyone else must adhere to the same, which they don't and won't. And they definitely don't or won't if we judge them. So this is where we need to kind of see if this is at play in our disharmony with other people. Where do we find a way to be at peace with the fact that people do not share the same standards that we have for ourselves? And where are we grasping at an expectation that others should have moral standards that they don't, and then passing judgment? Because wherever that is in our communication, we're going to have difficulty. And so it's very helpful if we discover this, and we can just train ourselves to be more skillful. Again, it's not that we give up our moral standards. It's just that we don't impose them upon others. And then we don't judge them for not having the same. Like, I'm not judging all of you for not being Buddhist monks and nuns right now, right? It'd be completely counterproductive. It would be stupid, right? So the same thing, if we have a lifestyle ourselves, we don't need to judge everyone else for not having the same lifestyle. Or if we have certain views that we hold ourselves, we don't need to judge other people for not having the same views. If anything, if there is any benefit to the views that we have, it needs to be that others are inspired by them. Whether they adhere to them or not themselves, they need to appreciate them. And how do we show people that it's something of value to appreciate? It's definitely if it's making us a better person. Like if our moral standards make us a better person, a more loving, accepting person, then more than likely, even if people don't share that moral standard, they will respect us for it. you know, they don't have to respect us for it, but they may more, be more likely to at least not be in conflict with it. So this is something we can use. And then, so then he's saying here, in this way, we act in the way that will be have the most positive effect. So I think this is kind of the main conclusion of this section. We think, okay, how can I use my communication in a way that will have the most positive effect? That's essentially what we try to be mindful of while we're communicating. How do I communicate in a way that will have the most positive effect?
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.